हरिः ॐ सहनावगतु सहनभुनक्तु सहवीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay. Shri Lord Shiva continues to explain why he should visit Prahlad rather than Lakshmi. 76. Surely you haven't forgotten the Supreme Lord's words about this. You must have read them in the Puranas and must remember the following verse. 77. Without saintly persons for whom I am the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss or my supreme opulences. This verse spoken by the Supreme Lord to Durvasa Muni in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 9.4.64 is cited here to establish the greatness of the Vaishnavas in general. The personality of Godhead derives great satisfaction from his pure devotees on earth and elsewhere, and in contrast, he is not as much attracted to his own consort in Vaikuntha or the imperishable opulence he creates for her pleasure, or she creates for his pleasure. Nor is he very much attracted by his own beauty, as the Lord further told Durvasa. I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent, because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires. I sit only within the cores of their heart. What to speak of my devotees? Even the devotees of my devotees are very dear to me. Yes.
Wouldn't it be especially
the devotees?
Means that the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee.
No, what he's pointing out is that not only is the devotee dear, but even those connected to the devotee are dear.
So it's not like it's...
No, he's just...
Contrary.
See, you're dealing here in Vaikuntha.
Yeah.
And in Vaikuntha, because of the awe and reverence and the majesty, therefore he's in the position he's God, and that's the mood, I am God, because that's how the devotees want to see. So therefore Lakshmi represents his energies, because God has his energies. Right? Then there's the devotees. So then, of that, his position as God, his opulences that are there, that's not so important to him. So that's going to be different from the goddesses of fortune in Braj.
Yes.
Because there it's just about being a devotee, it's not about being opulent. So they're not seeing him as God and they're his energies. Right?
Yes.
His transcendental bliss or supreme opulence. So these aren't what's important, it's the devotees are important. So that if the devotees are important, then you have the devotees in Vaikuntha. Right? But of those devotees, then Sri Prahlad is the greatest. Because you had all these saints, sages, demigods, Lakshmi there, but they were afraid to go before Nrisimhadev. But Prahlad's not,
yes.
Because of that closeness, that devotion. So that would make him more dear.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah. So these kind of just elements then are being brought out here.
Yes.
Yeah? Yes.
Lakshmi, it's not about the opulence. Does she care about the opulence?
How did Jagannath get back into the temple? And when she came, to chastise Jagannath's servants, what did she display? So, in other words, it's not about that, but it's the what is there is that that's because he's taking that mood because there's devotees in that mood. But otherwise, the position of being God in that, that's not so important to him. Because that's who he is. You know what I'm saying? It's just like there's somebody who's, you have a kid, he's born in an extremely wealthy family. But, you know, he just wants to play with friends and do something fun. You know, it's not about, you understand? It's only when you get out of the world, then that position has some meaning. But it won't have as much meaning as actually close relationships. So in Vaikuntha, then, that element that he's God, so therefore there's all the opulences and everything, but it's actually the devotees is why he's there. Otherwise, why would he take that mood? He'd be in grudge with Radharani. Because that's already perfect. You know what I'm saying? Or the most perfect. Right? So why drop down to perfect when you can be at most perfect? Like that. So because he's taken that position, because the devotees, Lakshmi is also, Radharani is taking that position with Lakshmi. So that aspect is not so important. Is that, so we're just getting the distinction here. It's about the devotees. Because that's what Lord Shiva is pointing out. He's pointed out the greatness of Vaikuntha, greatness of Lakshmi. So amongst the Vaikuntha Vasis, that she's the best. But then the same time is, then that beyond that, then is that greatness of Prahlad Maharaj as a devotee. Nor is he... Okay. As the Lord further told Durvasa... Oh, wait, we just read that one. Okay, the next one. As chaste women bring their gentle husbands under control by service, pure devotees who are equal to everyone and completely attached to me in the core of the heart bring me under their full control. Right? Yes. So there's just on the social side, there's a key word here that will be missed. Huh?
Gentle.
See, men will look at that. Chaste women will do service, yes, right? And they'll bring under control. Yes. You know, you're not bringing them under control yet. Yes. It's gentle husbands. That's the the key word there. So that means, because Krishna is the most gentle, right? He's the source of that quality. So he's very sensitive to that dealings of the devotees. So therefore, those who have that complete attachment to him bring him under complete control. Those who have you know, some attachment, then there's some control. So, yeah. Srila Prabhupada elaborates on this point. Yeah. So here we see this is ninth canto. We see so that fineness is there, is that, you know, we're establishing how Krishna is in everything and how the whole material world works. But now by ninth canto, he doesn't really care about that at all. It's only about the devotees.
Right? So it's like this, when we don't get it, then it has prominence, and then when we get it, it loses the prominence, because then we move on.
Well, the thing is it's a matter of what's getting in the way of the relationship with God. We're God. How many gods can you have in one place?
Yes.
Like that.
This place is not big enough for the two of us.
Yes. unlimited, trillions and quadrillions of us.
Yeah.
So then, therefore, it's pointed out he's God. But once that's accepted, then now we surrender. So now it's about the devotion. Because the point is you can't show devotion if you're proud. You know? So that's why the pride has to go, the humility has to go. Because if humility is there, then you can get to that highest platform of devotion, which is what attracts Krishna. Because these other levels, you know, they're there, he will reciprocate, and so therefore it's nice, but it doesn't control him, bring him under full control, like the who serve him in the core of their heart. There's nothing else like that. Yeah.
Can we say that actually the Lord, he doesn't care so much about his own problems, difficulties, and those five rasas. So even though he cannot be himself fully God, he's still prepared for the
initiation. Yes, yes, yes. The point is this: how anyone surrenders, that's how he reciprocates. So it means you're surrendered to the material energy, but in actuality, what are you surrendered to?
Krishna's energies.
His energies, the universal form. So as you deal with the universal form, he reciprocates. Right? So there is the niti aspect of just how you dealt and then you get something in return. You deal nice, properly according to the technique, you get the result there. But then there's the bigger picture, you know, that's coming up in this next chapter, is that he is being the universal form. Right? That means then you have the whole Varnashram system. The Brahmins are his mouth, the Kshatriyas is the arm, the Vaishyas the waist, Shudras are his legs. So therefore that whole Varnashram system is his body. Right? So it's the universal form that pervades everything and makes everything work. So it's basically absolutely and totally useless to try to say that Varnashram and these things don't function. Because the only reason anything functions is because of the universal form, and Varnashram is considered part of that manifestation of the bodily form of the Lord. So it's actually downright unintelligent, you know. Do you know what I'm saying? So the whole thing is that if it's about that interaction with the Lord, then that means those who follow the Vedic culture in that and apply this knowledge of the Lord's, you know, controlling and pervading everything, they'll get more benefit, right? The person who just tries to deal nicely with the material energy will get some benefit. The person who's just interested in himself but he follows the proper techniques, he'll get also benefit but even less. The one who follows the Dharma will get more. Right, one who sees that he's the soul and not the body, and that will get more than that. But one who has devotion, then they'll get the most. So Krishna reciprocates on every level. He is Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. Right? He is the object of bhakti. So whatever level you reciprocate, that he deals, from the gross materialist up to the highest devotee. So that's his position, that's who he is, because he is everything. But of all that, then his favorite is Vrindavan. You know, it's just like the man, he has so many businesses, so many aspects in this, so many social things. But there's certain things he really likes, and other things he does because that's just what you do. You are the big, you know, business magnate and all that. So there's certain things you do. You do go to this dinner. You do show up when the ambassador throws a program. You do this thing. Because that's just part of the business. But what he really likes doing is, you know, sitting at home with his grandson, you know, playing horses. Yeah. Is that making sense? So that's that, and you'd say, no, but he has all this great opulence and that. Why is he sitting at home with a grandson? But that's the whole thing, is because of that affection. Because for the grandson, it's just about him. Does the grandson care that he's got money? He's playing horsey with him because he's got money. Right? So that's the whole thing. So, yeah, well, in the context where you would be playing horsey, that's the...
certain type of poker game called horse. So.
No, yeah, that's called horse, not horsey. Yeah, so you have to.
You have to get the difference.
Yes, right. Yes, you know, it's just like here, gentle. So then you have to catch where is it. That's the. Yes. Yeah, we're not also talking about mainlining heroin either. Is that? Yeah. So that's what's then important. So it would appear as nobody has all this greatness and opulence and position as God and control of everything. But it's actually just the simple pastimes of affection that is there in Vrindavan that catches his full attention, as he mentioned. Right? The other is it's they are only putting in this much, he's reciprocating that much. But because their absorption is total, therefore his absorption is total. It's available for anybody. But everybody's not taking it. So according to their position, that's how he's dealing. So, yes.
So to state that, it comes up more in the next chapter, but this point of keeping me under their full control, this corresponds to Sri Krishna Karshini, which is the sixth symptom of devotional service.
Oh, okay.
So it's unique to praying, it's unique to Vaikuntha. It's like a,
okay.
It's just come up now.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah, because before you're just talking about the devotion and that, but then you're bringing out the element of praying, because if praying, you're beginning with Vaikuntha, because everybody there has minimum prema, right? But generally Vaikuntha only means prema, like that. There are some other elements, but because Vaikuntha, you can say is that, because Vaikuntha includes Dwarka, Mathura, Ayodhya, like this, so there's more, there will be the elements of Sneha, this, that. As you get into it, that full realm, that's all considered Vaikuntha, because this all of it has the element of majesty. But Vrindavan, then it doesn't have that. So therefore, beyond prema is the standard. Right, so the other is prema, and then some of these elements, but there it's what's beyond is the standard. Okay. That's a nice point. Because here it's where he's talking about how Shiva's experiencing all this bhava. That, and now you've introduced the aspect of prema. More rocks.
Yes.
Shila. Good. Okay. Srila Prabhupada elaborates on this point. Not only does the Supreme Personality of Godhead enjoy the company of his devotees, but because he is unlimited, he wants to increase his devotees unlimitedly. Because right? That's what's nice, so then naturally then you increase that. But because his energies are unlimited, so therefore that means the devotees are unlimited, both in his internal potency and in the jivas. Right? And when you're doing that, then 9 out of 10 go that way, but 1 out of 10 doesn't. So therefore then the increase in the Maya Shakti to accommodate all the wayward jivas.
Yes.
Yes. Thus he descends to the material world to induce non-devotees and rebellious living entities to return home back to Godhead. Right? So the material entities are there so that they go back to Godhead. So you're increasing the devotees. He requests them to surrender unto him because, unlimited as he is, he wants to increase his devotees unlimitedly. Krishna consciousness movement is an attempt to increase the number of pure devotees of the Supreme Lord more and more. It is certain that a devotee who helps in this endeavor to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes indirectly a controller of the Supreme Lord. Although the Supreme Lord is full in 6 opulences, he does not feel transcendental bliss without his devotees. An example that may be cited in this regard is that if a rich man does not have sons in a family, he does not feel happiness. Right? Because otherwise he's worked, he's gotten all the money, how does it continue? Where does it go? Like that. Indeed, sometimes a rich man adopts a son to complete his happiness. Yeah, I knew one guy. Yeah, he was probably one of the richest guys in Bengal. He didn't have a son, so he adopted somebody. Just, you know, otherwise, how does it carry on?
It becomes very evident that you're not keeping it.
Yes, yeah, because at least there's a son, an idea of my son, and it carries on. But then it's very obvious that when you die, it does not go with you. Yeah. Yes, Chitraketu, yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's true. That you could say is the most extreme endeavor to get a son.
And to get rid of the son.
Yeah, that was because, see, up to that point he was equal, but then at that point he became, preferred. Then that's what ruined him. If he hadn't done that, then it would have gone more smoothly. But then the pastime wouldn't have taken place. The science of transcendental bliss is known to the pure devotee. Therefore, the pure devotee is always engaged in increasing the transcendental happiness of the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 9.4.64. You're getting a preview of the ninth canto.
Yeah.
78. The Lord's divine personal form is the source of all the demigods, including me, and gives great pleasure to his devotees. But the Lord considers his own body worthless compared to the value of his devotees. Who is fit to praise the Lord's devotees? Right? Because for him, what's the point of, what is the bodily feature going to be? No, I'm just saying, what is it dependent upon? No, I'm talking about the Lord. Upon the interaction. So it's the devotee that makes his form of value. Otherwise, he is form. He is that he, you know. So, how is it appreciated? Because being who he is, it's not that he's an illusion who he is, right? So it's just a neutral. That's just who he is. Right? So it's when the devotee then that through the internal potency that manifestation, then it has some meaning.
Yes.
Right. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's not that he's attracted to form, he's attracted to what the devotees are attracted to.
That interaction.
Right? So why has he come as Lord Chaitanya? Just because as Krishna he's so great, you know, who wouldn't be his devotee, right? You know, you understand?
Yeah.
So it's because Radharani's attachment, he wants to taste that. So he's seeing himself through her eyes. So when Krishna sees himself through the devotee's eyes, then that's when he becomes attractive to himself. You know, like that pastime in Dwarka. He's sitting on the marble floor and he can see himself on the marble floor. Now that's a marble floor. You know, they talk about granite polish. We're talking about something else here. So, you want polish? Granite polish or Dwarka polish?
That would sound good.
Yeah, it probably would. The only problem is you're only going to see yourself. You're not going to see Krishna. Yeah, so then, you know, may not be as quite the same. Yeah. Krishna not included. Yes, that would be important to put on the package. Yeah. 78. The Lord's divine personal. We just read that one. Okay, who is fit to praise the devotees? So, in other words, who is fit? The devotee's position is so great that he's who makes the Supreme Lord happy. So who can actually glorify the devotee? So you only make an attempt, right?
Yeah.
You know, you make your attempt. That's all. That's what's appreciated. You know, you're doing your best, your attempt.
Yes.
The opulence and sweetness of the Lord's form cannot be completely described in words. However, in the opinion of the personality of Godhead himself, his own opulence and sweetness are unworthy of attention compared to the greatness of his pure devotees. One example of such an inestimable great devotee is Vasudev Dutta, who appears in Chaitanya Lila. Vasudev Dutta, the 19th branch of the Sri Chaitanya tree, was a great personality and a most confidential devotee of the Lord. So he's quite close, he's 19. One cannot describe his qualities even with thousands of mouths. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 10.41. Who can adequately glorify such an unalloyed Vaishnava? If anyone has the capacity to do so, it is the Lord himself. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then embraced Vasudev Dutta and began to speak of his glories as if he had 1,000 mouths. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorified him, Vasudev Dutta immediately became very much embarrassed and shy. He then submitted himself, touching the Lord's lotus feet. Vasudev Dutta told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "My dear Lord, you incarnate just to deliver all conditioned souls. I now have one petition, which I wish you would accept. My Lord, you are certainly able to do whatever you like, and you are indeed merciful. If you so desire, you can very easily do whatever you want. My Lord, my heart breaks to see the suffering of all the conditioned souls. Therefore, I request you to transfer the karma of their sinful lives upon my head. My dear Lord, let me suffer perpetually in a hellish condition, accepting all the sinful reactions of all living entities. Please finish their diseased material life. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard Vasudev Dutta's statement, his heart became very soft. Tears flowed from his eyes and he began to tremble. In a faltering voice, he spoke as follows. Such a statement is not at all astonishing, because you are the... Okay, you are the incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. That's the connection here. Okay, very clever. It appears that Lord Krishna has bestowed complete mercy upon you. There is no doubt about it. Whatever a pure devotee wants from his master, Lord Krishna doubtlessly grants, because he has no duty other than to fulfill the desires of his devotees. If you desire the deliverance of all living entities within the universe, then all of them can be delivered even without your undergoing the tribulations of sinful activity. Krishna is not incapable, for he has all potencies. Why would he induce you to suffer the sinful reactions of other living entities? Because it's only on the platform of karma that it has to go somewhere. Because you're dealing on right and wrong. I do good, I get good results. I do bad, I get bad results. So it's all about I'm the doer, I get the results of my doing. Right? So then, when you're dealing in karma, just like when you have an Ashramedha Yajna or one of these kind of yajnas, then part of the yajna is the sacrifice of the animal. So now that animal is in animal form because of being some variety of sin, right? But they must have a touch of piety that they are particularly qualified with all the lakshanas to be in that position as a horse or as an animal fit for sacrifice. But at the same time, as the overwhelming, you know, karma is that they are an animal. Right? So now, by doing this, it's said that the person who's doing the sacrifice and the animal that sacrificed both get elevated to heaven. Okay? Now that means that the person, the yajaman, he's performing a pious activity, therefore he's going to heaven. How will the horse go to heaven? They're a horse. Right? Does that make sense? So then the karma has to go somewhere. In other words, the karma of being a horse has to go somewhere, so that goes to the yajaman. Right? Oh, I see. Yeah, I see. That's where the concept of Mr. Ed came out. Right? Except he doesn't speak Sanskrit, though. Yes. Okay. Where were we? Yes. There is somehow or another trying to move beyond Mr. Ed here. Yes, the karma is transferred. That was the point. Yes. Okay. So he's pointing out, as Krishna has unlimited potency, there's no need that he has to suffer the reactions for everyone else to go back to Godhead. That's only within karma that has to happen, because there must be justice in karma. Right? Because I've done right, I get good. Only if I've done wrong, then I deserve bad. So if I'm getting bad, the first question is, what did I do wrong? You know? Then if I can't find any reason, that means somebody in the universal management, you know, has something to, I say,
answer for,
yes. Is that? But in here, because you're dealing with devotees, there's no need, because the karma, everything's actually illusory. It's just a matter of the soul coming back to their natural position.
Yes.
Yeah. that Dasa does not think that's his position. He says it, he means it. So he's ready to accept all that.
So he is ready to accept it.
But he knows that anyway goes somewhere.
No. He's taking it that you because they're because of their sinful life, they cannot appreciate the glories of the Lord. Therefore, they're not surrendering. Therefore, they're not getting benefits. So he's thinking, if I take this, all the sins, then they'll be purified. Then they can appreciate the Lord, go back to Godhead. See, he's looking at that aspect, right? Because in the general thing, you know, I'm sinful, therefore, that's why I'm getting reactions. Now, according to Krishna, how merciful, and, you know, or whatever's good for me, I may get a bigger or lesser reaction. Is that what it is? Yes?
So Maharaj, when the spiritual master is giving initiation, does he take the karma?
Yes, because we're still working on this material platform.
It is the same principle.
The same principle. So in other words, you could say on that level that Vasudev Dutta is qualified as guru of the universe. But Lord Chaitanya, Krishna is saying, but that can all just be taken care of by his energies. Right? Krishna is not incapable, for he has all potencies. Why would he induce you to suffer the sinful reactions of other living entities? Whosoever welfare you desire immediately becomes a Vaishnava, and Krishna delivers all Vaishnavas from the reactions of their past sinful activities. So it's automatically taken care of. So again, it's like the same principle as Prahlad Maharaj in that pastime, and in this pastime, he wants to save everybody. So as the Acharyas point out, is those who he actually thinks of, you know, thinks they're the ones that actually get that benefit. Like that. But we also see is that when Lord Chaitanya left, all the living entities in the universe all went back to Godhead. You know, so then that aspect is also there. But unfortunately, there's more of us here, and so here we are, empty universe, and we're here. I'll go. Sounds better than Sweden, right? You know, instead of 1 kilometer a house, it's whole universe to yourself. Yes.
Curious, in physics there's a law of conservation of energy. Is this like that you know, energy is never created or destroyed, it just changes state? So is that equivalent to karma or material?
No, because karma is temporary.
Yeah.
Because all it is the illusion that I have done this, so therefore I deserve the results.
Right.
But we only think of the good results that I want, right? The thief thinks, I have done the effort, I have got stolen the money, now I deserve to enjoy the results.
Right.
He doesn't take into consideration that, you know, he didn't have to steal. The government's going to put him up for free,
yes.
You know, room and board for the next, you know, 25 years, right? You know. So, you know. So it's on the illusory platform. But the principle of that, because Krishna is mentioning in that, you know, 2:12, that famous verse that never was there a time when I did not exist, or you were always kings. So that means the Lord, his energies, the living entities, are all always present. It's just a matter of manifestation, you know, when you can appreciate. So energy is never created, but it's never destroyed. It only transforms. But at the same time, as why is that? Because there's an energetic. So that's the part of the physics equation that's left out. And why does energy transform? It has its own laws, so we don't make them. We can take part in the process, but we're not actually the one making it do that. I can put this chemical into that chemical, and it does something in my flask there. Right? But the point is it's those chemicals, that's what they do. It's not me. It's not that I made it happen. Like that. So so they're not fully considering. So what's the power? One, that the energy is there, but the power that makes it interact and transform. And why does it always work on those laws? Therefore, you can make science. If it was actually, as they say, it's all chance, you would not have any science. You wouldn't have any scientific laws or things. Why would anybody win a Nobel Prize for chance?
Yes.
You know? My dog plays the piano, so I should get the Nobel Prize. You know, it's like, you know. it's not
it hasn't happened yet.
No. So all these years, everybody always thought Schroeder was a boy. Right?
Schroeder?
Yeah. It was actually another beagle. Yeah. It used to be, yeah, how you say it? It was a funny context around the time when Lincoln was shot.
Still got nothing.
Dinosaurs.
No. Dinosaurs.
Yes.
So from this description, it appears that living entity as a jiva, all they do is just observe what happens in the universe, and the more, you know, the more they can observe, the better they are, and that's all about it. Because they don't create anything, they can't destroy anything. It's all about observation.
Yes, but then it's what you as an individual wants to do with that observation.
Whether we want to do it or not.
Yeah, you want to take part in that, you would like to be involved in that, it's something of interest. Is that fan leaning that way?
Could be. This one?
Yeah, well, both of them look like they're leaning. Yeah. Could be the glasses. it's what your intent is, based on what you observe, is what you get, what you are therefore involved in and get the results of. But, because one comes under the shelter, then therefore one's as good as. Just like iron and fire is as good as fire, but iron on its own is not. It's the fire that makes the iron hot. So technically, that the iron is fire, the credit goes to the fire, not to the iron. But it's dealt with as good as iron. So the jiva, therefore, even though all they're doing is observing and desiring, but depending upon how they apply that, they get the benefit of that, that they are considered non-different from those energies that are actually doing it. Right? So the jivas in the spiritual world, they're as good as the internal potency by that principle of iron and fire. At the same time, as in the material world, they're good as dead matter.
It's also very difficult to understand this claim that, you know, the tooth valve.
The tooth valve.
No. Bhagavad Gita, you mentioned before, tooth valve. It was
212. I was going to say the tooth and then tooth sweet, tooth what, you know, what's the tooth part? Okay, 212.
And the expansion of everything.
Yes.
Somehow, you know, in the head, it's difficult to conceive this point.
Because it's just a matter of mathematics. Very difficult to stick unlimited in 1/10,000th the tip of a hair.
So we shouldn't worry about this.
No, it's a matter of we appreciate it, but that's not where our glory lies. Because that's just the position, Lord, that's just sock. You know? But the real point is this element of Ananda that's based on interaction. That's the part that's important to the Lord, is that devotion, that the interaction then generates that sweetness that is the exchange between the Lord and the devotees. Like here, Lord Chaitanya is so much appreciating the mood of Vasudeva Datta. That's what's important. That he wants to do, be involved to please the Lord. So that's what really, really impresses him. So that's the part we are looking at. The other is because we think we're so great, like we were reading this morning about the demoniac mentality. I have wealth, I'm the most important, I'm the best, I'm God, who else is there in the world, everybody, you know, like this. So you have to kind of reduce that by, because someone else says they're God or this or that, you can relate to their power, their wealth, or this or that. But here you're talking about something that is unrelatable, and there's no way you can. So then God's position as God is so far beyond that he just has to accept that. Then there can be the element of surrender. There can be humility, therefore that humility you can observe better in surrender. But once that's happened, then it's about that interaction based on surrender. So that's the thing, is you have the material, which is reflection of the spiritual. Just like in the spiritual world, it's not about being spiritual, that's the big deal. It's about interacting with the Lord, that's the big deal. So that's lower, but in the material world, because it's a reflection, it's lower than that Brahman state. Therefore, we look at the Brahman state as an elevation. So we're trying to get to that position where unattached, undisturbed, nothing bothers us, nothing is interesting to us within the material world. That's the Brahman platform. But that's only because that from there, then you can get interested in the spiritual world. Otherwise, to only come to that platform, not get interested in the spiritual world, because the jiva by nature has to be happy. And that's going to come by interaction. Then he will come back to material interaction. And so then it's basically a waste of time. Yes. Yes, but it's you have that aspect of the Brahman, but it's with the understanding of knowledge of that devotion towards the Lord. So that's the difference. So mukti, that's basically a waste of time, right? Because you're liberated, but the living entity won't be satisfied, so they'll have to satisfy themselves by adding in chit and ananda. They don't know spiritual or transcendental ananda or transcendental knowledge and activity, so they only have material knowledge, material activities, and material happiness. So to complete the equation, they will go back to the material world. So, yes.
Right here, Bhaktivedanta says that Delhi suffered perpetually in a heavy
foundation,
accepting all
the
people who are
acting on the entities,
by chanting,
Hare Krishna,
all the
scenes come
to you.
Yeah, but how many are taking it up? How many are taking it up?
Yeah.
So, yeah, so what about the rest of them? So why aren't the rest of them taking up the process of Harinam Sankirtan? You understand? Because of sinful reactions. So they're not interested, they're not attracted. Therefore, Vasudeva Dutta says, if he takes all that of all the living entities in the universe, then in that purified condition, then very easily they can take up the devotional process and perfect their lives.
No, but my question is, why he has to go through his condition to grant the sinful reaction? Just by chanting, he can grant the sinful reaction.
Okay, a man wants regularly to eat dinner, okay? So you could go down to the local diner, right? They know what you want, you got your seat, it's got a standard price, you know what it's going to take, right? Okay, now that's intellectually looking at it, that works out perfectly. Why does he get married to have dinner?
Thank you.
Oh, you mean he doesn't have to go to the diner? Do you understand? What are we getting at here? It's not about the intellectual, it's about the emotional. So his feeling for the living entities, that's what's important. And why is he feeling like that? Because he wants to please the Lord. You know, so it's not an academic kind of approach here. It's that in the mood that the Lord wants to see, the Lord's worried about all the living entities going back to Godhead, right? Because it said, because Krishna is so pleased with this interaction with the devotees, he wants to increase it unlimitedly. Therefore, the material world is there to bring all those living entities back to Godhead. Right? In a sense. So, now 9 out of 10 do go, but 1 out of 10 doesn't. So then, those are the ones that he's worried about. And they entangle themselves, so if they're freed from sin, then they'll be able to take up the process. Is that something? Yeah. In other words, there is the option that people can actually care about people.
I understand that part. But I don't understand is the part that is saying that I can suffer for when we go to the
because I guess the problem is that this is ninth canto stuff, and we're on the third canto. You understand why? What's the problem? Why? See, because you're looking at the detail, you're missing the point. That is the attitude that's pleasing Lord Chaitanya. And so it's a matter of lila here. It's a they don't look at those aspects. You know, because otherwise, looking at that, you're looking at the position of, you know, the power of God, the power of His name, the power. But they're looking here. He's doing it as a relationship with the Lord. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's about the personal, the relationship. That's what we're gradually working up to, right? Because we started off with this Brahman and our Varanasi, we can really relate to that, right? The king, okay, that's a stretch, it's nice, you know. This, you know, the fairy tales make it a little accessible, you know. So I guess the Grimm brothers get some benefit from that from that arrangement, yeah? Like that, okay? But then you get into Indra, now that's way beyond, that's way above our pay grade, that one, right, you know. It's that, then you go to Brahma, then to Shiva, you know, so... You know what I'm saying? So, what's being pointed out is that in our progress and devotion, we have those aspects of those stages. You know, in other words, we're engaged in serving the Lord with whatever we have. If we have more facility, we engage that in Lord's service. We have position, we have other things, authority, we engage that in Lord's service. Right? We get that personal association with the Lord, but then it's a matter of taking advantage of that. You know what I'm saying? So it means the Lord is sitting here in the temple. How often do we go? We only go because He's supposed to go. Right? If we could get away with never going, there's a good chance not many would go. Right? Yeah, so you understand? So... Here, but here's about, you know, the Lord is there taking advantage of that. And then Lord Shiva, then we see that great devotion that's there, the ecstasy coming from that. So they're not worried about the paraphernalia, this and that. His wife is the sum total of the material energy, so there's no lack of facility, you know. But he's, you know, just absorbed in his devotion. Okay. So like that, it works out. Does that make sense? But now we're going to the next stage of Prahlad Maharaj, where he cares for everybody, wants to see everybody go back to God. See, the point comes out is because he's Prahlad Maharaj, that's why he's thinking like this. Because it's already been pointed out, that's how Prahlad Maharaj thinks. Right? So he's doing that because he is polite. Is that okay? Yeah. Yes.
Back to that point about the six symptoms of devotion. The first one is freedom from miseries, the gaining of all auspiciousness, considering a liberation to be insignificant. So that's what the demigods, you know, are able to experience in Shiva. But this stage, they just don't have the power to attract Krishna. So really that power of attracting Krishna is like the main point, not the freedom from miseries.
That's okay. Okay. Yes, yes.
So nice. Beyond that.
Okay, okay. Okay, whosoever welfare you desire immediately becomes a Vaishnava, and Krishna delivers all Vaishnavas from the reaction of their past sinful activities. CC Madhya Lila 15.158.169. Such is the inconceivable power of the devotion of Prahlad as Vasudev Dutta. It controls even the Lord himself. Srila Prabhupada reveals in a purport on this section. Vasudev Dutta was the most exalted personality to ever show mercy to the conditioned souls. This is not an exaggeration of his transcendental qualities. It is perfectly true. Actually, there cannot be any comparison to Vasudev Dutta. As the perfect Vaishnava, he was paradukha-dukhi, very much aggrieved to see others suffer. The entire world is purified simply by the appearance of such a great devotee. Indeed, by his transcendental presence, the whole world is glorified, and all conditioned souls are also glorified. As Narottam Das Thakur confirms, Vasudev Dutta is the ideal devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, Narottam Das Thakur. One who executes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission must be considered eternally liberated. He is a transcendental person and does not belong to this material world. Such a devotee, engaging in the deliverance of the total population, is as magnanimous as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tushe Namaha. Such a personality factually represents Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because his heart is always filled with compassion for all conditioned souls. C.C. Madhya Lila 1953. And then you have... Oh, so that was the quote, and then the whole thing is 15.163 per book. Okay.
Yeah. So we can say that the most important quality of the Vaishnava is...
That the quality of the Vaishnava is?
Compassion.
Compassion is natural because it's there because the Lord has compassion. That's why he's dealing with the living entities. So they want to interact with him in a particular way, and out of his compassion he reciprocates. Okay. So that's the element of Karuna Rasa, is that mercy. So you get the most intimate aspect. Still absent. Performing the pastime of ignorance. Because Krishna, as a small child, they perform that pastime. Still got the look. Okay, 79. Moreover, among those countless devotees, Prahlad stands out as the example of perfection. The Lord himself has described him in this way. Prahlad's good fortune is inconceivable. Prahlad is one of the rare Vaishnavas described in the previous verse whom the Supreme Lord cherishes more than his own self. Furthermore, as the present verse states, Prahlad's surrender is especially complete, conferring on him a devotional position superior to that of pure devotees such as Sesha and Garuda. His good fortune is unique among Vaishnavas, as the Lord has declared to him. Those who follow your example will naturally become my pure devotees. You are the best example of my devotee, and others should follow in your footsteps. Srimad Bhagavatam 7:10, 21. 80. When the Lord tore apart Hiranyakashipu, I, all the demigods, and the goddess Lakshmi witnessed with our own eyes the incomparable good fortune of Prahlad. Significant here is that Prahlad took birth in a family of demons. All the demigods witnessed firsthand, however, that this in no way disqualified Prahlad from being an exalted Vaishnava.
All right.
Yes.
Prahlad surrendered especially complete here, in the sense that he was completely surrendered in comparison to the previous devotees that he liked.
Well, there he's very much concern about others' welfare is much greater than what's been shown up to now. Like Brahma was worried about his own liberation. Indra is worried about maintaining the position he has to do his service. Right? The king is, you know, also, you know, has that aspect. These, what we see is here with Prahlad, he's worried more about everybody else, that they're able to go back to Godhead. So he's not worried about any difficult situation. Eddie 1. Lord Vishnu several times tried to offer him boons, but Prahlad refers to ask to be liberated. Instead, he chose only pure devotion. I bow down before him. This verse, quoted from the Narayana Vyuhastava, highlights the exclusiveness of Prahlad's devotion to the Supreme Lord. Lord Nisinga tried hard to entice Prahlad with liberation. Just to let others see Prahlad was Prahlad's resolve to stay fixed in pure devotion. Moreover, Prahlad asked for pure devotion in his repeated future births. Prahlad plays to Lord Nrisimhadev in Sri Vishnu Purana 120.38. O Master, in all the thousands of births through which I must wander in this world, let me have unfailing devotion to you, the infallible Supreme Lord. And so he only wanted devotion, because boons generally come in the way of some kind of benefit, some material benefit. But here he's saying he doesn't want any of that. He only wants that pure devotion. So that aspect is what makes him very dear to the Lord. But though it's natural, the Lord likes to give things and facility for the devotees, and we see he gives to many devotees, and then they engage them in the Lord's service. But he's saying that's not his interest. His interest is just in that pure devotion. So then, whether he has facility, doesn't have facility, it doesn't matter. He's just engaged in the pure devotion. While he may have the opulence of Indra, but if he doesn't engage in the Lord's service, then what's the point? Right? But we see Bali Maharaj and Sudama Vipra did engage it nicely in the Lord's service. But that's because of their devotion. Right? So for Prahlad Maharaj, it's not about the boon, it's about that devotion. Prahlad's readiness to be born again thousands of times means he is not at all interested in liberation. 82-83. My dear sage, Bali violated spiritual etiquette by disobeying the order of his spiritual master and failing to be true to his own words. Still, as we know, the Lord agreed to become the guard at Bali's door. Was that simply the fruit of Bali's insignificant charity? The Lord also granted protection to the wicked Bana. Was that the result of my offering the Lord prayers? So here is, you mentioned insignificant charity, right? He basically gave the universe in charity, but it's insignificant, right? Because Krishna has the cosmos. So. Because the personality of Godhead blessed Bali Maharaj by becoming his doorkeeper, someone might suggest that Bali received more mercy than Prahlad. But according to Lord Shiva, this is not true. Rather, Lord Vishnu favored Bali only because Bali was Prahlad's grandson. As is before, Indra pointed out, so because of his parents' devotion, therefore he's getting the benefit. Bali, in offering Vamanadeva 3 steps of land, made a promise he couldn't keep. So technically, he didn't actually fully given charity what he promised. When this promise proved impossible to fulfill, these proud words became a reason for Bali to be ashamed. It seems that Bali did not give away anything very important, just the three insignificant material worlds and then his own body. Vamanadeva's becoming Bali's doorkeeper could not have been the result of just this meager charity. Lord Shiva proposes, the Lord must have reciprocated with Bali in this way because Bali's grandfather, Prahlad, was a great soul and a dear devotee of Vishnu. Bali did not deserve this benediction because he was a violator of the universal order, a transgressor of his guru order, and a breaker of promises. We see in this world that, as a general rule, in exchange for worthless trifles, nothing substantial can be obtained. Bali's petty charity, therefore, could not have purchased the personality of Godhead, who is the embodiment of eternal knowledge and bliss. That charity certainly could not have resulted in the Lord's entering Bali's household entourage. The only feasible explanation for Bali's good fortune is the intimate exchange of prema bhakti between Prahlad Maharaj and his worshipable Lord. Right? So this comes up in this context, as Bali Maharaj stands on his own as a great devotee. Right? But it's being brought out here in context of Prahlad that's the real reason that he got that mercy. Right? Because of his connection with Prahlad Maharaj. So that was there. Does that make sense? Because if you look at the one side, then there's a problem. But if you look at the devotional effort in that, he had more faith in the Lord than he did in his spiritual master, who was giving mundane instruction. Right? At that time, Shukracharya was not giving transcendental instruction. He was giving karmakanda instruction. Right? Does that make sense? And his charity, then he gave himself. So he gave whatever he had. You know, he broke his promise, but he gave what he had. Like that. Does that make sense? So there is that spiritual side, so we shouldn't look at it that, yeah, Bali, he's just, you know. Yeah, just giving some meager charity. No, in both cases, the Lord acted out of affection for Prahlad, his most beloved devotee. But what more about this can I say in the presence of Gauri, the close friend of the goddess Lakshmi? Right? Because you can't push it too much because they're good friends. You don't want to make it look bad. Right? But I mean, we notice also in this section that the discussions are much greater, because now you're getting down to that point of that full surrender, that capturing the Lord's attention, that aspect of prema. All these things, so there's more to discuss. While the others, you're discussing about the lessening of the miseries and the extending of the facilities. So you're getting more and more and more of that. So if you think the Brahmins got a lot, then no, the king has more, but Indra has more than that, Brahma has more than that. Right? So, but now we're getting into another category. Right? So Shiva, you're going beyond this conditioned level, but then now you're going beyond it to prema. Right? So, is that so?
Shiva is like Baba.
Yes, it's like that aspect. And then the others are what's before that. Yeah. Narada might like to hear more about the glories of Prahlad Maharaj, but Lord Shiva is afraid to arouse the anger of his wife, right? Because it doesn't work out very good. If he says much more in praise of Prahlad, he will doubtlessly fall into an ecstatic trance. If he then speaks too loudly, Parvati might hear what he is saying. Right? Because remember, he took him to the side and is speaking quietly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Because when he talked about the residents of Vaikuntha, that they're so great and glorious, he's talking about the devotees, that her point was, hey, what do you mean? Yeah. They're all servants of Lakshmi. Now she's the devotee. Right? You know, so it's going to be there. So then they're going, well, actually, Prahlad. It's not going to. Yeah, so it's like. Right. In other words, the wife doesn't is not worried about what she doesn't hear about, as long as she doesn't know what she didn't hear about. Yes, you know, so you have to have all these covered. Okay. She is a good friend of Mahalakshmi's and would not like to hear about Prahlad's being a greater devotee than the Supreme Lord's consort. If Parvati becomes annoyed, Lord Shiva worries. She will react disrespectfully towards himself and Narada, and that would not be good for her, right? Because you're dealing with such great personalities. But reason dictates that a relative newcomer to devotional service like Prahlad could not surpass the goddess Lakshmi, who eternally resides on the chest of Lord Narayana. Yet still, Prahlad received special mercy from the Lord to put him in that unlikely standing. When Brahma gave Hiranyakashipu the boons that made him the scourge of the three worlds, the Supreme Lord was concerned that his devotees not have their confidence in devotional service weakened by seeing their enemy allowed to become so powerful. To help dispel the Vaishnava's anxieties and doubts, Lord Nrisimha, right after killing Hiranyakashipu, blessed Prahlad to become greater than all other devotees, past and present, including the residents of Vaikuntha, his personal attendants, and his beloved consort Lakshmi. Thus, by the Lord's sweet will, Prahlad became the greatest Vaishnava, which would otherwise have been impossible. So it's by the Lord's grace that this all happened. Sometimes the personality of Godhead declares other, quote-unquote, recent devotees like Prahlad. Did he have a bag full of hair? That's pretty good hair.
It went all the way to
Chandigarh. Yeah, hair was so good, we had to bring some back. What about the cheddars? Cheddars are nothing but hair. Sometimes the personality of Godhead, declares other recent devotees like Prahlad dearer to himself than Lord Shankarshan, Mahalakshmi, and other great personalities of the eternal kingdom of Vaikuntha. Lord Narayana similarly tells Durvasa Muni, without saintly persons for whom I am the only destination, I am not attracted to my own self or my supreme consort, the goddess Lakshmi. Srimad Bhagavatam 9.4.64. One reason why the Supreme Lord speaks like this is that although his eternal associates, Sankarshan, Mahalakshmi, and so on, are ever established in unswerving devotion, they underwent no tribulations to gain it. Whereas his quote-unquote new devotees in the mature world have sacrificed all comforts and security to gain pure devotional service. For the trouble such devotees have taken, Lord Krishna is especially grateful. Besides this, the Lord wants to encourage all his devotees to surrender themselves more fully. And to accomplish this, he emphatically praises devotees like Prahlad, who have taken great risks for his satisfaction. But at the same time as Prahlad, he's going to serve through Lakshmi. So it doesn't make their position any different than all that. It's just that they're there to enhance the Lord's pastimes. So there's the aspect of appreciating and interacting with the devotees. So in that case, then they take a seeming secondary role like that. But in other situations, you'll see it's the other way. You know, it's like, how you say it? You know, Krishna and Balaram, that they're going out to the forest and they're enjoying that them being together, because wherever Krishna goes, Balaram's present. Whatever incarnation, he's there. Right? So that whole mood that the two of them are always together. And wherever he goes, Lakshmi's always present. So there must be some dearness, but there's the aspect of interacting with the living entities. Right? So then with all the jivas, so then that aspect also then comes out and has its position. So that all the variety of the tastes that are there. You know, it's just like, let's say, you're with a good friend who's, you know, very good. You've been friends for a long time in that. So you can just sit around and do nothing and be perfectly happy. Okay. Now, these two friends decide go to visit a third person or another, you know, situation. So what's all the discussion going to be about? right? The other person or that other situation. You're saying, so that becomes more prominent. Does that make sense? Yes? Yes. So like that. Right, so there's the appreciation of what they have gone through, because they're naturally in that position, because they're expansions of the Lord, right? Does that make sense? So we're looking at this side of it, right? Not we don't look at the other side. We don't go, well, what do you mean? They're rat bags for coming here in the first place. Yes. So you know, it's just, now they're just going back to what they're supposed to do. Come on, they came here. They should suffer. Yeah, come on. You know, what's all this sentiment about? You know?
Such a
pusher. Yeah. You know. Does that make sense? So, but that's from the mundane, from the transcendental. That effort's been put. This theme of devotee's tribulation also arises in Chaitanya Lila. In Chaitanya Mangal, it is described that Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu used to visit Tota Gopinath daily to hear Gadadhar Pandit recite Srimad Bhagavatam. Mahaprabhu specifically wanted to hear the pastimes of Dhruva and Prahlad. He would hear these same pastimes hundreds of times on end, shedding constant tears of ecstasy. Right? Because we can say, oh, I've heard that story. But the point is the devotion and that surrender, because it's connected to Krishna, is ever fresh. So it never actually gets old. Right? Lord Chaitanya would meditate on Dhruva's staunch determination to achieve the Lord, performing severe austerities for months in Vrindavan. And Prahlad suffered unimaginable harassment in the hands of his ruthless father. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always absorbed in the Vipralamba Bhava of Srimati Radharani. So his choice Bhagavatam pastimes to hear is suggestive of which devotees are closest to his heart. Right? So then if that's there, that means these other devotees, they're also thinking and appreciating. So it's not that Lakshmi would have a problem with looking at it this way either. Right? Because they have, you know, made such a commitment for the Lord. So that whatever that effort, whatever it is, whoever does it, then that's glorious. So that's why it's always, that's the one of the thing, qualities of Srimati Radharani. Is her appreciation for service rendered, right? Because she is the, you could say, the personification of devotional service. So any surrender done in that department, then she's very pleased. Because the point is that it pleases the Lord, whether it's within the context of grudge or any other realm. Because the point is it's all Krishna. So any realm where that effort is made, it pleases Krishna. Therefore, she's pleased, right? But that doesn't mean ultimately it doesn't go back up to where it ends at her. But the point is all these things are important because these please the devotees on the top. Right? Like Indra will be pleased Brahma will be pleased with Indra's devotion, Indra with the king's devotion, the king with the Brahma's devotion. Right? So it goes that way, if we're looking at the mercy that way. But the same way it goes up. So that's the thing, is that it doesn't matter. It's all about Krishna, so it doesn't matter which way you look at it. It's always good.
So the devotee...
No envy, yes. That's the thing. So it's not... It's just that mood. Like that. Because now, just in Radhakund, okay? The highest place that we know of. Right? Means or not even know of, that we has been revealed that this is the highest place. Whether we appreciate it, that's another thing. Now, around that, all the Shakyas have the kunjas. Right? And so within one of those would be Lalita's kunj. Within her kunj, she has pictures of the wall of Krishna killing the demons. Right? So now, why is he killing the demons? Because he doesn't need to kill the demons. Maya can kill the demons. Right? And they can trip down the stairs. They can do anything, right? You know. Is that so? It's because of his affection for his devotees, that he's protecting his devotees. So that's what this represents. It's that Krishna's affection for his devotees to protect them from all kinds of calamities. So that's what's being appreciated. So it's rasa. So that's the thing, is that determination, that surrender, that commitment. All these things are appreciated. And so then any devotee would appreciate it. I'm not even sure. I think in the lectures, Prabhupada's lectures, you know, when he would travel around the world. At least I can't say about Dhruva Maharaj, but Palagwa Maharaj is one of the main sections he speaks on. Like that.
I think at one point he even said that the seventh canto would be his preferred to speak on. He should choose.
Oh, okay.
Someone told
him. Yeah, because there it's directly devotional served. Pure devotion is very clear. Like that. And so then these other cantos are bringing out those aspects, but there you get all the solid, like that, you know, because that's the opening for the next section. Right? So that's the principle on which now the next six cantos will be viewed.
Yeah, why that Dhruva Maharaj pastime specifically, because he's determined, but not determined to specifically serve Krishna, but to attain, you know, material opulence.
Yes, but he gained, because there must have been something proper there, otherwise why did he gain the darshan of the Lord? You know, he could have told Brahma to go down there and do something, or, you know, anybody, but he went himself. Yes. So then Narad Muni would be his spiritual master. So he's following the order of a spiritual master, even if it may be materially inclined, but he's following very strictly. It means, who is following the spiritual master to that degree? Right? So that's very exemplary. You know, like that. So then that aspect is there. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is you can always find something glorious, you can always find something that's just the situation is ordinary. So we're supposed to look for the glorious aspect, the devotee who's being praised looks for the ordinary aspect within the situation. So that's what we see we do. But our practice since time immemorial is the other way around. You know, like that. Always find the specialness in ourselves and the ordinariness in everybody else. So, you know, it takes a little time to reverse the practice. But it's possible, right? Because we have so many nice examples, so after a while, just hearing it, we get purified, and then slowly it all. Is that what you said? Because it's about rasa. Is that determination in that? But that's the point, is that just as Bali Maharaj is benefited because of the connection, so here Dhruva Maharaj because of his connection with Narad Muni. Right? But having come to that position, then we see, you know, he stands well in his own right as a devotee. Right? Just like in other situations, Bali Maharaj is one of the, you know, in fact, he's one of the 12 Mahajanas.
That's okay.
Yeah, he's doing good.
I guess we could even use this as a counter argument for anyone who suggests that the first nine cantos are for beginners, for
Yeah, it is for beginners, but we have to understand what a beginner means.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, get out of Taisei, one of those, what was it? Hubble?
No.
Yeah, is it Hubble telescope?
Hubble.
Yeah, get out the Hubble telescope and look straight up. And, you know, and that's the direction you have to look to see, you know, devotion compared to anything material, right? So any of our glories. See, because the neophyte tends to think my material qualifications are my spiritual qualifications. Does that make sense? So someone with more material qualification than others naturally takes the position as the senior devotee, right? So that's the, but so, but this is in a different category. You know, pure devotion is on a different level. So, therefore, being able to discern that, we're starting that with the first verses. How is it that the Lord, you know, how is the Lord present here? Since the Lord's always present. So, since he left as Krishna, so how is he still here, and how is it, so the Bhagavatam, and then how that unfolds, and then these discussions, so they naturally go through. Is that so? One could say, but the point is until, if one's come to the transcendental position, then he appreciates the rasa, then he wouldn't say that about these others, because those on the platform of the 10th canto appreciate those who are described in the other cantos. Right? Because you're talking about Mahabhav that's not fully brought out in the Bhagavatam. It's only brought out in Chaitanya Charitamrita. But Lord Chaitanya is appreciating Galad Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj, you know, which are many cantos down from 10th canto and a few, you know, cantos down from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that's the whole thing, is when you get to there, you won't, don't think like that. So if you're thinking like that, it means you're not qualified to be there. Like that. That's the... Is that did we finish the next one? That's where we are, okay. One might also ask how Prahlad can be greater than Brahma, Indra, and other demigods. The demigods, on one hand, are frequently able to have the audience of Lord Vishnu, which is the final perfection of all spiritual practices. Sri Prahlad, on the other hand, is associated with the Lord mostly by remembering him. We will hear Prahlad say about himself in the next chapter of the Brihadbhagavatamrita. I have never performed any real service for the Lord like Hanuman and others. I have only remembered the Lord sometimes when my mind was troubled. Brihadbhagavatamrita 1.4.20. You know, for the father like Hiranyakashipu, then remembrance is constant. Right? So that's how he's going to turn the tables.
But to his credit, his mind was troubled quite quickly.
Yes, that's specific, yes. Yeah. Yeah. If you're sitting there and there's a pot of boiling oil and some very unpious looking personalities are looking at you and looking at the pot, then
find your happy place.
Yes. 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 Nonetheless, we should remember that Prahlad does in fact see the Lord constantly, and according to the description of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 18, Prahlad offers him incessant prayers on the planet Harivarsha. Prahlad's grandson, Bali, has also inherited from him the right to see the Lord constantly, and thus Sri Vamanadeva stays with Bali in his palace. Okay. If Prahlad criticizes himself for only being able to remember the Lord and not see him directly, that is simply dissatisfaction with himself due to the humility that such a perfect Vaishnava naturally feels. Despite what he says about himself, he is dearer to the Supreme Lord than even the Lord's eternal associates in Vaikuntha. In some manuscripts of Brihadbhagavatamrita, another verse is inserted between 84 and 85. Lord Shiva tells Narada, granted, the reason he became endowed with pure devotion was that you gave him certain instructions while he was still in the womb. But at the same time, he was born as a pure devotee, and so you deserve to be awarded with happiness in the future. This glorification of Srila Narad Muni is highly appropriate, for Prahlad himself is eternally indebted to his guru. Prahlad rejects Nrsingadeva's offer of liberation, praying instead to always be engaged in the service of Narad Muni. Because Narad Muni is the one, you know, that the theme is about, so he basically gets left out in this. But otherwise, he's also, you know, one of these most dear to the Lord devotees. But now, in that, we can see the principle of what we're talking about here is that him being such a great personality and so dear to the Lord, that he's appreciating just the Varanasi Brahmana. Right? And then the king. So he's appreciating each one. Because he's seeing that devotional effort and that, and whatever it is, no matter how insignificant, it's very great, very special.
He's in the Shantaras of appreciation.
Yes, so he's appreciating all these different. Okay, so Prahlad Maharaj then prays Thus, by associating with material desires one after another, I was following the general populace by falling into a blind well of snakes. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the great sage Narad Muni kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve the transcendental position similar to his own. How could I ever leave the service of your servant? Right? He was already instructed within the womb, right? So when he was three, he'd be rolling on the ground in ecstasy. So he's already an Uttamadhikar, like that. And then he gets Narad Muni's grace and gets, you know, further, you know, like this. So, you know. Srila Prabhupada.
I think it's funny how falling into a blind well full of snakes, he's the only person for whom that's not a metaphor. He actually did.
Yes, and was unaffected. Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah, for others, unaffected. Yeah, poetic. Falling into a blind well full of snakes, a pot of boiling oil, stampeding elephants. Srila Prabhupada comments on this verse. This is the symptom of a pure devotee. One should serve the spiritual master first. It is not that one should surpass the spiritual master and desire to serve the Supreme Lord. This is not the principle for a Vaishnava.
Yes.
Narottam Das Thakur says one should not be anxious to offer direct service to the Lord. Srila Prabhupada once here in Mayapur, he was walking. You know, walking on the road, they'd always walk on this front road, you know. So there's nothing on the other side of the road, there was nothing like that. This is only last few years. So then, at one point, they were going down the road, you know, down the side of the road. So Prabhupada, I forget who it was, Jagannatha Maharaj, it was Bhavananda, I think it was Bhavananda, but took his arm, or something like this, you know, so he could go down the side. So the devotee's very happy serving like this. When they got to the bottom where Prabhupada didn't need the help, he just, you know, very, let's say, abruptly, yeah, but without emotion, just pushed them away, like that, you know, and that, and then, you know, so everybody's worried, and everything, what happened, what did it do, this and that, right, like that, and Prabhupada said, this is the Mayavadis. They take help from the guru and all that, and then when they don't need it anymore, they kick them away. So don't be like that. It's very, you know, so it's one of those that really sticks in the mind. So it's not about offering direct service, it's about serving the spiritual master. So even if they're directly offering something to Krishna, they're thinking they're doing this on behalf of the spiritual master. So in that way, there's no direct service, but at the same time, you may be directly interacting.
Yes.
Right? So sometimes people go, well, do we get to offer direct service? But the whole point is that's not the point. It's about serving the spiritual master. That's the real thing. So naturally, there's going to be direct interaction with Krishna, but it's about serving the spiritual master. That's the. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised that one become a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudasa. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 1380. One must first be prepared to serve the spiritual master, and then. And when one is qualified, he is automatically offered the platform of direct service to the Lord. Right? So that's the point, is you're interested to serve the spiritual master. By doing that, then one becomes qualified to serve the Lord directly. But the Lord's not going to accept your direct service unless it's through the spiritual master. Because the point is the direct is the mechanics. The relationship is the spiritual master. So that's the relationship's always more important than the mechanics. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj proposed that he engage in service of Narad Muni. He never proposed that he engage directly in the service of the Lord. This is the right conclusion. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.28 purport. So you can see why this canto is very.
Yes.
This is significant, for Prahlad will later reproach himself for failing to render any actual service to the Lord, unlike Hanuman. Right? Because Hanuman's always with the Lord, always doing personal service. Like that. So that's going to be his technique of deflection. 85. Go quickly to Sutala. Offer Prahlad your countless blessings. Embrace him and tell him I embrace him again and again. Right? So he does, and also that Lord Shiva himself is offering. So that here we can understand is that there is some greater speed than the speed of light.
Oh yeah.
Because he just very quickly goes from Brahma's place, which is within the universe, to Shiva's place outside the universe, and now he's going to come back in and then go down to Sutala. Right, so there's going to be some serious, you know, moving here. This doesn't say that, you know, after many billions of years and Narad Muni finally arrived at, you know.
There's the jet lag, if you want.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Tumburu lag, right? That is transcendental Veda. At the time of Lord Shiva speaking, Prahlad was residing on Sutala, the third Patala planet, ruled by Bali Maharaj. When Prahlad had come to witness Bali's encounter with Lord Vamana, the Lord had invited Prahlad to visit Sutala Loka and enjoy his own association there for some time. Like that. Interesting is notice that it's the third Patala planet. So in other words, everything below Earth is considered hellish.
Yes.
Right? But we know that the opulence there is much greater than here.
Yeah.
So what's the hellishness?
Lack
of God consciousness.
Yeah.
Like that. So no matter how much you have, it's still going to be hellish. Right?
So it means that the Earth planet is the most poor planet.
Yeah. Especially this part of the Earth planet. You know,
this time.
Yeah, that. But it's yes, you do have that. Yeah, because even the other mandalas, the other, what is it, 8 islands, you know, on Bhumandala, they have more because they're the earthly heavenly planets.
Actual planets.
Is the actual hellish planets. Yeah, they're below Patala. So they're, yeah, there's. You want to try to give those a miss. My dear son Prahlad, all good fortune unto you. For the time being, please go to the place known as Sutala and there enjoy happiness with your grandson and your other relatives and friends. You shall be able to see me there in my usual feature, with this club, lotus, and conch shell in my hands. Because of your transcendental bliss, from always personally seeing me, you will have no further bondage to fruitive activities. Srimad Bhagavatam 8:23-9-10. 86. Unfortunately, that best of saintly persons will not tolerate your bowing down to him or praising him. If you want to avoid getting into trouble, do not neglect this fact. Right? So he's pointing out that you should go there, praise him unlimitedly, embrace him, give your blessings, tell him about Shiva's blessings, but unfortunately, he will not tolerate this, so keep that in mind.
Good luck.
Yeah, you know, so. Thus ends the third chapter.
And Narayana thinks he's the spiritual master.
Yes, but still, he's got the mercy. That doesn't mean the spiritual master doesn't appreciate the mercy that the disciple has. Because point is the disciple has done something with it, just like this. Let us say the king takes advice from his Brahmins, right? And then he applies that and does it, right? The glory goes to the king, right? Because the king did it. The others advised, but he did it. So he gets the glory for that endeavor. Same time, personally, he offers respect to the Brahmins, but the people in general, it's the king. Because advice is there. You can give advice to anybody, but they don't take it. What's the meaning? Right? So neither is it glorious because it becomes involved, and neither do you get any benefit. But that's why it says don't speak to those who aren't interested. Because if you do, then it'll always be, it never will work out nicely. Thus ends the third chapter of part one of Srila Sanatana Goswami's Brihad Bhagavatamrita, entitled Prapanchatita, Beyond the Material World. Okay, so that brings us to review and essay questions, and then okay, then we have more. That's four. So we finished today, so we need to finish. I guess you're happy with that, how that worked out. So it gives you two more days to get it printed. What can I do? Class is going on, you know. So. Yeah, I had it ready. Yeah, and it ended up at the right time.
Now I'm behind.
Now you're behind.
Yeah.
Well, it's getting faster.
I think I don't
know. You're supposed to be 5 minutes ahead.
Yeah, but I changed that.
But you don't like the 5 minutes ahead stuff.
I don't mind it. Yeah. But I just feel like I should be in sync with this place.
I see. Then you'll be late to the temple.
But
generally you won't be, because they're late, so that's why it's 5 minutes fast.
So
I think at one time it got to 10 minutes fast, but then there was complaints, so they put it to 5, so everyone leaves that one. We say Hare Krishna. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada ki,
Jai,
Sanna Veta Bhakti Vrinda ki,
Jai,
Jai Nitai Gauri.